Good afternoon, and welcome to our celebration. Our entrance hymn is going to be "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." It's in the yellow or white sheet in the pew, floor number 670 in your books. Please rise.
Oh, Please stand. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
So, you know the Feast of the Annunciation normally falls on March 25th, which is 9 months to the day before Christmas. Jesus, the good Jewish boy, stayed in his mother's womb exactly 9 months to the day. But now, this year is a little bit different. Jesus will be a preemie by 1 week this coming Christmas. Because March 25th fell on Monday of Holy Week, and the church didn't feel it appropriate to celebrate the great feast of the Annunciation during Passion Week, Holy Week. So the feast was moved to tomorrow, April 8th. Tomorrow is the feast we celebrate. The Feast of the Annunciation. You know, the conception of Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, what's interesting is, I don't know if you go on the internet a lot, probably not a good idea to do anymore these days. You know, there's a lot of hubbub going on that there is going to be a full solar eclipse tomorrow that will be visible in many places in the United States, I think even partially visible here where we are in Florida. It certainly offers an opportunity for reflection, spiritual reflection. I'm not one to read too much into that. that, but I'm not going to ignore the significance of the event either. You know, we read in the book of Revelation that Mary is the woman with the moon at her feet and clothed with the sun. And in fact, since ancient times, the moon has been a symbol for the Blessed Mother, because the moon gives no light on its own, but only reflects the light of the sun. S-U-N, just as Mary reflects the light of her son, S-O-N. The moon also serves a purpose, right? It keeps the gravitational thing about the earth in balance. And so it's really quite interesting. So tomorrow, the moon is going to block the sun. I'm going to reflect on that. Can you see Mary kind of standing in front of Jesus saying, you know, you don't seem to be listening to him, maybe you'll be listening to me, your mother. Yeah. Repent, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. I also find it interesting that last Friday, New York City and surroundings had a 4.8 earthquake. Now, I'm from the epicenter, I knew was in New Jersey, and I'm from New Jersey, and I'll tell you, we don't get earthquakes in New Jersey. Okay? So this, too, is a rare event. And, of course, we right away heard from family and friends who live up there saying, it was scary. It was scary. Furniture was moving, the house was shaking, and the whole thing. And again, I don't want to read too much into that sort of thing. But I'm also a firm believer that there is no such thing as coincidence. Everything that happens is part of God's divine plan. A God who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And would God use such astronomical events or earthly kind of geological events to speak to us and get a message to us? Of course he would. Absolutely, of course he would. Psalm 19 says what? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. So yes, God speaks to us through these natural events. Jesus himself tells us in Luke's gospel, he says, there will be powerful earthquakes, famines, plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. So, again, what are we to make of all this? The eclipse happening on the Feast of the Annunciation, the earthquake, and so forth. Well, as I think many of you know, I retired from my paying job at the beginning of this year, January 1st of this year, having served in academia for over 40 years, really. And if there is one thing that I have picked, one thing that I always strive to drill into the minds of my students, is to know the fundamentals and know them well. Know them as well as you know the back of your hand. Know the basics. I mean, I don't even tell that to my graduate students, because even this so-called advanced material is not so advanced if you understand the basics, if you understand the fundamentals. You start to say, oh, this is just this, and that is just that, and if I put them all together, I get what's advanced, but it's not advanced at all. So I think, if we stick to the basics, we're going to be okay, because there is nothing new going on here. And what are the basics? Well, I said one of them just a second ago from Matthew's gospel. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Our first pope, St. Peter, told us in his letter that the day of the Lord
come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Those are the basics. The Catechism of the Catholic Church stresses, it tells us that since the ascension, since Christ's ascension into heaven, his coming in glory is imminent. It's imminent. Imminent means like maybe today, you know? Imminent means imminent. They say the eschatological coming could happen at any time. That's a fancy way of saying the end of the world. It could happen at any time. So be ready. It's just that simple. Be ready. Do what Jesus says. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't be afraid of earthquakes. Don't be afraid of eclipses or some astronomical event. You want to know what scares me? There are some things that scare me. What scare me is when Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? I declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Those are scary words. Those are written especially for me. But Jesus, but I was the one who stood up here at the pulpit talking to the microphone with all these fancy clothes, you know. Depart from me. I don't know who you are. One of us must keep that message in mind. There is a dangerous trend, even among Catholics today, where people are confusing mercy with just being nice. Some even jeopardize their eternal salvation by obstinately persisting in sin. Because God's merciful, He's going to forgive me, I don't have to worry about it. We hear this at almost every Catholic funeral these days. What do they say? He's in a better place now. His pain and suffering is over. And how do you know that? How do you know that? If that's true, why are you praying for the person? Ask them to be praying for you. They don't need your prayers if their pain and suffering is over and they're in a better place now. We hope and we trust that God in His mercy will put them in a better place. But only God knows their hearts. And so we pray. We pray for them because they could no longer pray for themselves. I have so many family members who come to me after their loved one dies and said, they're done now. They're there with my mother and father and they're enjoying themselves and they're partying. I hope you're right. You know, you've never darkened the doors of a church. I never see you do anything about praying or anything. I hope you're right that God is going to welcome you into his pearly gates. But show me where it says that in the Bible. Show me where it says that in the Bible. What did Jesus say? What does Jesus say in the Bible? What do we like to ignore? Everybody ignores this. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. And those who find it are few. That's scary. Because if I was a gambling man, and I had to put myself with the many or with the few, you know, chances are good I could be with the many. And that destruction, of course, that Jesus talks about is eternal damnation in hell. And we're dealing now with people today who ought to know better that, if they even admit that there is a hell, they're saying, it's probably empty. There's nobody there. Well, you know, Jesus doesn't talk about hell like it's empty. The Roman Catechism The Catechism of the Council of Trent tells us hell is a loathsome and dark prison in which the souls of the damned are tormented with the unclean spirits in eternal, indistinguishable fire. Nobody's happy who gets there. Nobody. It's something we should fear. It's scary, yes, but at the same time, it shouldn't be scary if we remain in a state of grace, ready at any moment for the Lord's return. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Keep your oil lamps full, keep your wicks trimmed, be ready, because the Lord will come at a time when you least expect. God's desire, if you were here this video of the Sunday liturgies here at St. Madeline, you heard us talk about how God's love message to us is, please, please, please come to me. I want to forgive you, repent of your sins, and wash me, shower you with mercy. I don't care how bad your sin is. You know, in Faustina's diary, Jesus says, all grace flows from mercy. Even if a person's sins were as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery. One thing alone is necessary, that the sinner set ajar the door of his heart, even if it's just a little bit, to let in a ray of God's merciful grace, and God will do the rest. Open just the slightest crack, and God will take the rest away. Jesus goes on to say in that diary, let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. Such souls I grant even more graces than they get. This is a God who wants us to be saved. Just give him a little opening, and he'll take the rest. And if you're a horrible, horrible sinner, I don't know what he here is, we all probably know people who fit that bill, right? This is what we need to do to give them this message of mercy. Open the door just the slightest crack, and God will not only take it the rest of the way, he'll give them more mercy than they could have believed, more mercy than they could have asked for. It's very concerning. You may know that in November, we, the citizens of Florida here, will be voting to enshrine in the Constitution the right for abortion. We need to pray harder than ever that this, is it an amendment, whatever it's called, is going to be defeated. We want to enshrine, make it a right to murder innocent babies. And, this is an abomination. An abomination. I always go back to the words of Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries of Fatima, who tells us the final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Don't be afraid, because whoever works for the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of the family will always be fought against and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. If my personal opinion, I think if there's if you're the worst person in the world, you know, if you're as bad as you can get, but you defend the sanctity of God, the sanctity of family, I think God is going to give you, he's going to say, come on. Because this is the disciple issue. We are living in the end times. These are the last days. We have to heed our Lord's call to repentance as our final warning. What happens with eclipses and earthquakes and whatnot, I don't know, but we have to take them as God's warning to us. You know, when we read the Revelation, for example, St. Faustina, you know, those are private revelations. We have to read them in the light of sacred scripture and the magisterial teachings of the church. But even there, you see that what St. Faustina says, it is just bringing us back to the basics, the fundamentals. And if we know the fundamentals, we'll be safe. She says in her diary, "Speak to the world about my mercy. It is a sign for the end times. And after it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to the fountain of my mercy." In another place in her diary, Jesus says to St. Faustina, "Tell souls about this great mercy of mine, because the awful day, the day of my justice, is near, near." We have to assume that we're not going to even make it home today. It has to be our assumption that the mercy of God is at hand and is near. And finally, the Blessed Mother spoke to St. Faustina, said to her, "You have to speak to the world about Jesus' great mercy and prepare the world for the second coming of him who will come, not as a merciful Savior, but as a just judge. Oh, how terrible is that day. The angels tremble before him. Speak to souls about this great mercy while there is still time for granting mercy, while we still have breath in our body to repent of our sins and ask God for mercy. Because if you do, you will get a drink of water from a fire hydrant, so great will be his mercy upon you." We are living in the time between two comings. His first coming at his incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That's not Christmas, really. He became man at the incarnation when he was conceived in his mother's womb. And he's coming again, his second coming, which everybody tells us is imminent. During this time, the church is the instrument of God's mercy, the sacrament of God's mercy, reconciliation, confessions, to restore the world to Christ before he returns. And again, if all of this sounds frightening, well, okay, in one sense it should, but at the same time, it shouldn't. The message is simple. Be prepared. Be ready. Go to confession. We spoke today here in the homily that the sacrament of confession, reconciliation, is God's way of telling us, "I love you." When we repent and go to confession, it's our way of saying to God, "I love you."
Creator. The importance of the feast day. My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are opened. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the font of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day are opened all the divine floodgates through which graces flow. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy.
Oh.
The importance of confession. When you go to confession, to this fountain of my mercy, the blood and water which came forth from my heart always flows down upon your soul and ennobles it. Every time you go to confession, immerse yourself entirely in my mercy, with great trust, so that I may pour the bounty of my grace upon your soul. When you approach the confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy. Tell souls that from this fount of mercy, souls draw graces solely with the vessel of trust. If their trust is great, there is no limit to my generosity. The torrents of grace inundate humble souls. The proud remain always in poverty and misery because my grace turns away from them to humble souls.
Souls do not even pay any attention to me. They leave me
and busy themselves with other things. Oh, how sad I am that souls do not recognize love. They treat me as a dead object. Oh, how painful it is to me that souls so seldom unite themselves to me in holy communion. I wait for souls, and they are indifferent toward me. I love them tenderly and sincerely, and they distrust me. I want to lavish my graces on them and do not want to accept them. They treat me as a dead object, whereas my heart is full of love and mercy. In order that you may know at least some of my pain, imagine the most tender of mothers who has great love for her children, while those children spurn her love. Consider her pain. No one is in a position to console her. This is but a feeble image and likeness of my love.
Will defend it as my own glory.
I am offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy. That vessel is this image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. I desire that this image be venerated first in your chapel and then throughout the world. Saint Faustina asked the Lord about the meaning of the rays in the image. She heard these words in reply. The two rays denote blood and water. The pale rays stand for the water which makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which is the life of souls. These two rays issued forth from the depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened by a lance on the cross. Happy is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold of him. By means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls.
In this hour, I will refuse nothing
to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. As often as you hear the clock strike the third hour, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying it. Invoke its omnipotence for the whole world, and particularly for poor sinners. For at that moment, mercy was opened wide for every soul. In this hour, you can obtain everything for yourself and for others for the asking. It was the hour of grace for the whole world. Mercy triumphed over justice. Step into the chapel for a moment and adore in the most blessed sacrament, my heart, which is full of mercy. And should you be unable to step into the chapel, immerse yourself in prayer there where you happen to be, if only for a brief instant.
Thank you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
The divine praise,
blessed be God, blessed be his holy name, blessed be Jesus Christ, your God and man, blessed be the name of Jesus, blessed be his most sacred heart, blessed be his most precious blood, blessed be Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar, blessed be the Holy Spirit, Amen.
university. Spending over 40 years in academia, most of that time I stood up there blabbing away, and occasionally a sheepish student would say, "Do you think you could show us an example? We need examples, right?" And we have one such example with us today. In the case of Divine Mercy, that example is known as a miracle. Karen Rodriguez was here for our mission with the Dominican friars, and she came up on Wednesday evening to get anointed. Now, back then, Karen was bound to a wheelchair. Now, she's sitting around just fine, no wheelchair required. Karen, could you come forward and give a brief witness, an example of your healing? We need to give God the credit and praise God when these things happen. Be seated. Jesus, our loving Savior, establish in this image the throne of your mercy. I pour out upon all of us who approach it with faith and trust the purifying, healing, and sanctifying rays of grace ever emanating from it as a blazing star. Gaze upon us as you did from the cross with your great love and mercy, so that we may be filled with your grace. Through this image, may your divine mercy triumph over all powers of evil. May all who venerate this image never perish. May it be their joy in life, their hope in death, and their glory in eternity forever and ever.